The reason I do spiritual things, different things, is for two reasons. One, I look to see what risk there is in doing it. So, you know, my classic example is if you studied like Aztec culture, in order to become an enlightened being, you actually, decapitation takes you to the higher state. Well, the risk in that is a little too high for me. So I'm not that spiritual.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Ego is the fear of loss. Like, just in general, what's our truly greatest fear is the end. Because no matter what you think, and you can live your life, and how I deal with my greatest fear, the end, is the same way I deal with perspective. Like, for me, instant switches of being thankful for everything is much just a better choice than the alternative. Saying I get to do something instead of I have to do it is a simple choice. The end. My perspective, the simple choice is, there is no end, right? I will continue on. Because the minute I take the other perspective, even though it may be true, I can't prove it, like, I just don't like that in my perspective. Kind of bums me out that, you know, if my heart stops, that's the end of me. That's a great fear, right? It would change, the fear would get greater and greater the older I get, and, you know, the more my embodiment broke down, it would get greater and greater. But it's just a better perspective to have, that there's better beyond when my heart stops, right? And so for fear, anything that I'm afraid of, I look for the positive perspective of it, even though I can't prove it. In other words, I put faith in what I want, right? I put faith in what I want, and I'm very conscious about when I put faith in what I don't want, because if we put faith in what we don't want, I promise you, you're gonna get what you don't want. But I do, I put faith in what I want. I also feed that faith. What does that mean? I feed what I believe, and I starve my doubts. Starve your fear. People feed into the fear. That's just like going and accelerating 405 north when you want to go south. People feed their fear, right? They obsess on it, they feed it, they're putting faith in there, and then they end up getting exactly what they're most afraid of. My classic example for everyone, and everyone will shake their head yes, is you're taking the test, you're studying, and you're like, oh my gosh, please don't have the rules of perpetuity on this test. Please, please, no rules of perpetuity. What's always the first question on the test? Rules of perpetuity. That's exactly what we do in life, right? We put faith in what we're afraid of, and then it comes. So my suggestion is, when, number one, we're aware of this is fear, meaning this is ego. Now, why do I overeat? Fear, right? But if I'm not aware of that's why, but why do I eat healthy, but I overeat. Why? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'll be back. I get choked up talking about it, right? That I'm not gonna have enough food, right? That I'm gonna not die because I don't have enough food. So in my psyche, that unconscious competency, oh, there's plenty for you. There's more than enough. Even though I know there's plenty. So I think, you know, fighting that with perspective and knowing what that fear is. And, you know, one of the tricks that I do, this is a really woo-woo thing. I do some super spiritual stuff. And the reason I do spiritual things, different things, is for two reasons. One, I look to see what risk there is in doing it. So, you know, my classic example is if you studied like Aztec culture, in order to become an enlightened being, you actually, decapitation takes you to the higher state. Well, the risk in that is a little too high for me. So I'm not that spiritual. But like, I wear my bracelets for healing reasons, and they have very little risk other than people might think, you know, those are ugly. But it works for me is the second thing, right? No risk, works for me. I trace calligraphies, no risk, it works for me. So one of the things I do for the fear, it works for me. Try it out, see if it works for you. When I'm afraid of something, I go to by myself, I close my eyes, and I actually envision myself going into my own body, and I look for myself. And I find myself somewhere, heart, my stomach, different places in my body, and I'm always a different age. So I might find myself at 5, in my stomach. And so I'll talk to myself. What are you afraid of? Right, I'll think to myself, well, what happened when I was five? My dad left, right? So there's always a reason of what age, considering what I'm afraid of at that time. So then I'll ask myself, you know, what are you afraid of? I'm afraid I'm responsible. Right? I still get, because I know it's core to my energy. I get choked up. You know, it's not that I'm just a big baby, which I am, but I actually am just in touch with my core, right? Like, that's why I cry on stage in the videos, but it's in me still. Like, I still, at 5 years old, I'm still afraid that my dad left, that I'm the responsible, that I'm responsible for my mom, I'm not gonna have enough, right? I gotta provide my siblings, my mom. I get choked up. So I talk to myself all the time, at five, in my stomach. It's okay. You got plenty. You'll have enough. You got what it takes. You'll be fine. I talk to myself. And even though I've done this for years, I still get choked up talking, which tells me emotionally I still have that energy, right? Energy and motion within me. So what's it going to do? It's going to project itself into other things that I do. You know, one of the things I worked on that I found through the energy is that, and I didn't believe the person that taught me this, they said I carried an energy that I was stupid. And I'm like, come on. Like, I don't think I'm stupid at all. And she said, no, you don't. In fact, you're projecting your unconscious competency that you're not enough intellectually. And so what you do is you surround yourself with people that are less intelligent than you, so you feel smarter. You project an arrogance of being smart. There's all these things that are manifesting out of fear, because you carry this energy that you are not intellectually capable. And so we kind of did the same thing. And I found out, like, when I was little, my grandma would babysit me because my mom worked two jobs, and I'm super hyperactive as a little kid, and my siblings would sit down and study and calm. And so I'd tell my grandma, I'm bored, right? And she consistently, persistently, every day telling me, only stupid people get bored. Smart people think of things to do. Only stupid people get bored. So in my energy and in my mind, every time I was bored, which happens a lot when you're a little kid, what do you think? I'm stupid. Then I have hyper-intelligent siblings that all get Ivy League scholarships and straight A's, and right, I'm playing sports and liking girls and, you know, trying drugs and doing fun things, and they're studying, making me look bad. But in my psyche, right, I'm the low end of the gene pool. So I evolve into an energy, an unconscious competency that intellectually I'm not enough, which causes me all these problems because I won't what? People that think they're stupid won't what? It's the biggest tragedy of all of them. They won't ask for help. Anybody ask me why I lost all my money? It's because I didn't ask for help. I made one bad assumption and didn't ask for help. All I had to do is ask for help. I could have accelerated everything that I owned at that time just by asking people that had been there before. Like I have now, right? I've been through four cycles of the economy at 51. I've seen the up and the down four times. I know how you can make money on the down and how to make money on the up. I know how to save. I know how to leverage myself. And I'm still asking for help. And when the next dip happens, I'm going to go to the experts, including Warren Buffett, and I will find his number. I will find someone that knows him, and I will get in front of him and tell him, you're going to mentor me. I'm going to be concise. Give me your cell phone when I need help with a quick question. You're going to answer it for me because I'm going to do anything you want me to do that I'm capable. Does that sound fair? I will, because I know he'll say yes. It's just a matter of me finding the number or where he's going to be or what he's going to do and get in front of him, which I will do. But now, the next time the market goes down, I'm going to have what I think is the best economic genius of our time with years of experience to tell me, oh, you got $30 million, Dave? This is what I would do with it. Okay, thank you. Why should I guess? That guy seems to be a lot smarter about this kind of thing than I am. He kind of studies it every day since he's been like 16. I think he's 86 or 90 now. I think he knows a lot. Why, you know, but think about how it all manifested itself. What do stupid people do? They don't ask for help. Why? Because they're afraid they'll be exposed for what they really are. That's how you deal with your fear. You know, that's a woo-woo way, but also just this perspective way. And that's a key to life.
On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making the playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with the playbook.